It's time now for the Patty Conklin Show, exclusively on HealthyLife.net Radio.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Patty Conklin Show. I'm so thankful that you're listening in to this show today. Got a really awesome, special show. And I'm really looking forward to going in-depth to the topic for today, which is emotional accountability. And my guest today is none other than my son, Matthew Conklin. And Matt is an aerospace senior project manager. And you may be saying, what's aerospace got to do with emotional accountability? Absolutely nothing. Has nothing to do with it. However, Matt's insights, our discussions through the years, have always been enlightening for others and for me. I think one of the compliments that we received when we used to do more shows together was that people would say, your son can tell you you're full of crap and still do it so respectfully and lovingly. And so I want to keep us on track with that today. Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, well, thanks for having me. First off, it's been a long time since we've done a show together, so
I've been looking forward to this. It's been like 15 years. I was thinking about that. Has it been 15, 20 years?
I don't know if it's been 20, but it might be edging on to 15 by now. Time certainly, you know, cruises by.
It does. It does. I think when we did our last show, you weren't married and you didn't have a child.
That's probably a true statement.
Yep. So we know at least it's been 12 years. So anyways, I'm really grateful that you came on today and talk on an important topic, I think, the emotional accountability for situations in our lives. You know, I think that people struggle to understand not only their emotions, but how it's reacting externally, how we're reacting externally to outside events and our emotions thereof. And so you picked the topic, and I'm going to let you take it away and kind of give us the overview and preface of emotional accountability.
Okay. All right. So I guess a little bit of background is that, you know, why I picked this topic or why I think it's relevant. Years ago when I was a teenager-ish, I think we were talking about everything that, you know, in the world happens for a reason, you know, was the kind of the topic of conversation, that everything that happens in your life is supposed to happen, et cetera. And I asked you the question. I was like, well, how does free will play into that, right? If you are not the master of your own destiny, do you even have free will? And you said that free will is that you have the ability to choose your emotional response to an event that occurs, right? And that's something that always has stuck with me for a long time, you know, through the years. And, you know, the reality is, you know, we do not command most of the events that happen in our day. You know, external events that can be positive, they can be negative, they can be neutral, all occur, and we, you know, subconsciously, for the most part, assign an emotion to that event. But how can you put yourself into a space where, you know, you take, you know, kind of extreme ownership or accountability of that emotional response, right?
Right.
So that if something happens, you know, it's not to say that there's, you know, bad emotions per se. You know, a bad emotion really becomes that way because of magnitude and duration, right? So it's not necessarily a bad thing to get angry, but if you stay angry or you're extremely angry, things like that, you know, can become detrimental. So how can you preemptively reshape emotions? How can you, you know, guide yourself to have the response, you know, to have that emotional accountability, right? Because that is the thing that you can control. So that's
right.
That's kind of why I picked this topic. It was a good conversation that you and I had.
We have had those conversations through the years, and the other thing, you know, Matt is an aerospace senior project manager, engineer, whatever at this stage, but in his early days of getting out of high school, he was executive director in the office for me. And so, you know, holding that position, we were able to get into a lot of these discussions of, you know, what takes place externally, because what we know we can control is ourselves in this minute. Can't control what happened a minute ago or an hour ago, and we can't control what happens an hour from now or a minute from now externally. All we can do is control this minute, this second, where we are right now. Would you agree with that? Disagree with that?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think there's some ability to influence possible future events, but, well, you know, external events notwithstanding, but you're certainly right that, yeah, you can't control things that have already happened.
Right.
You can't change what's already happened. At least you might be able to reshape the emotional connection to that event, but you can't change
right.
the event.
And so how do we reframe the emotional connection to the event? Because the event happened, right? One way or the other, the event happened. How do we reframe and reshape an event, our emotional response to that event?
How do you change your emotional response to an event?
Oh, wow. I sit and think through the event. I sit and think through the emotional response I had, whether it was valid or not, in terms of did the emotional response equal the event, or did I compensate, you know, get exaggerated, did I make less of it, you know, am I true with the emotional response to the event? And if it's not in sync, then I need to think about what was the emotional response that, you know, what is the emotional response that I now want to put to that event.
Interesting. So I have a little bit of a different opinion on that.
Okay.
I think that the emotional responses that you have in the moment are effectively always valid. Doesn't mean they're the most productive, right?
Okay.
I think if you look back on an event and you were like, I was really angry, it's okay that, you know, that you say that you can acknowledge, right, that it wasn't wrong necessarily, just might not have been optimal. So when you reframe an event that happened, I think you can be honest, you know, or, you know, sincere to yourself about what happened, but you can say, I wish, or maybe it would have been better if I would have felt this instead, or I didn't think about these components. Maybe, you know, now that I have more information about the event, this is how I should have felt about this thing, right?
Yeah.
So it's giving yourself a little bit of I'm not sure what the right word is, but it's allowing yourself to have lived that event, right? Because if people overthink something and they're like, oh man, I shouldn't have done blah blah blah, and that wasn't the right response, you know, it kind of becomes a self criticism that might not be necessary.
Right. I mean, we can move ourselves into shame when
sure.
we
guilt, things like that.
Overanalyze and
yep.
you know, and really feel like we should have done differently or whatever the situation is. You know, and Furness and I were speaking of this on another show on investing in yourself, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, when you think, oh my gosh, I should have responded differently to that situation, it's easy to go into self-shame and instead going, okay, that's the response I had. Now let me go inside emotionally and look at the trigger that had me reacting that way. Have I dealt with prior stuff in my life, or am I still triggering to an emotional event from the past? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's valid, right? It's just coming to a little bit of a deeper understanding about why things happen, and then you know, understanding how what maybe a better choice of response would be, or a different emotional attachment that you could have put to that. But you know, all that being said, I don't actually dwell a whole lot in the past in life in general.
Right.
I don't find that it's a you know. Outside of maybe something that immediately happened, I don't find a lot of value for me, right, in analyzing things that happened in days, weeks, months, you know, gone by. Take the lesson, you know, rethink about how you should have, you know, handled it maybe in a more healthy way. I don't want to say positive because that's not always the right,
right
time. But, you know, handle it in a different way and then just take that lesson learned and move forward with it.
Yeah. Now that you're a dad, you know, of a, I don't know if he's considered a teenage year or not. But
not yet.
Are there,
tween-ish.
I keep talking to your niece about that 9 years old is not a teenager, that she has a few more years to go. But do you find in parenting, because I think as parents, you know, we all go through times where we may have ab reactions and memories that pop up from when we were a child in terms of how our children are acting or maybe our responses to it. You know, I just wonder in your parenting world, is it a completely different subset, or are there times that you think about what, you know, different events that happened to you in your childhood and so forth that you then adjust your parenting to your child? That makes sense.
I think so. So basically, maybe to rephrase, do I look back through the lens of my childhood and base decisions or evaluate my responses to events through that lens? Is that kind of where you're
going
with that?
Yeah. I mean, I remember. When you and your brother were, you know, probably teenagers, whatever. And I remember you guys doing something that were, you know, teenage-ish. And I overreacted in my discipline. And I remember sitting with that and thinking, okay, you overreacted. Punishment doesn't fit the event. I can't remember what the event was. But I remember going to you guys saying, okay, I overreacted. You're still getting punished, but this is a more reasonable punishment to fit the event. Do you think that's a skill, or something? I wouldn't say a skill, but an aspect of everyday life. I mean, whether it's parenting or friendships or whatever, do you think that that's something that's valuable, or do you stand with your first reaction?
No, it's definitely, I mean, there's a tremendous amount of value there. I think, you know, as a good, you know, partner or coworker or parent, you know, being able to evaluate, you know, whether your response was appropriate and then, you know, owning it if it wasn't is tremendously valuable, right? So, you know, it's okay, in my opinion, you know, to go to a kid and say, hey, listen, I was wrong with this response, right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember the specific event necessarily that you're talking about, but you know, I think you were always good at saying, like, you know, talking to us as this, you know, like we're people, we're not just, you know, children that must obey, you know,
right,
per se. So being able to acknowledge, you know, the human side of things, and hey, I made these decisions, I did these things, and maybe it wasn't perfect, and let's talk about it, or you know, let me reshape. It's not, you're not retreating from your children by changing the scope of a, you know, a punishment or, you know, the consequences, right?
Because, right.
You know, sometimes it is hard in the moment to be, you know, kind of present with yourself and engaged with what you want to do. It's easy just to snap and say, hey, you know, go to your room, we're going to talk about this, whatever.
Right.
And that's not always the most productive thing, right? So as long as you're not establishing patterns of that ab reaction behavior, you know, can you take a moment to be considered before you fire something off? And, you know, usually the answer is yes, right? Maybe not always. So
Right. I mean, is it good for people, do you think, to take that, you know, 5-second rule of, you know, counting down from 5 seconds or 10 seconds before you make a response? You know, I'm back and forth on this topic because I feel like if you're taking a deep breath, our good buddy Bob Keaton, who passed away a few years ago, Keaton would always do that 5-second response, right? He'd hold. But sometimes he'd do like 20 seconds or 30 seconds. And you just feel like, hey, dude, stop. Give me a response here. And he's in his head thinking about the response versus giving me a response. What's your kind of overall view on that?
You know, I don't know. I tend to respond pretty quickly in general, I think. So, you know, but I think there's value in having a considered response, of course. I mean, this is going to be situationally dependent, you know, also. You know, if it's a high-powered business negotiation and, you know, everything you say is, you know, on the record, you know, versus a casual, you know, somebody bumps you with their grocery cart or something, you know, are going to be different events. Right, maybe different responses.
Right.
You know, I think part of that might depend on your worldview also. You know, some people, I think, naturally have, you know, maybe a little bit more of a negative worldview. You know, that's not a bad thing. It's just a thing, right? And
right.
So, you know, if they want to create more constructive situations, then maybe it makes more sense to wait a second before you respond so you can figure out, you know, if you're framing it the way that you want to, right? So, you know, versus just, you know, saying something snarky real quick and
do you think though, Matt, that there's a difference between when we're in work mode versus family mode in terms of, are we more instinctively when we're in positions of you know, directors or, you know, just actual any kind of supervisor position to respond to an employee with a measured, thoughtful 5-second pause? Do we carry that then into our private lives? I mean, is it more? Does it feel more standoffish if a family member does that?
That's a good question. I'm not sure, and I say that because
what?
I know. Well, I think let me pause for a second so I can be measured here. To me, I think it's important to be consistent regardless. I dislike the idea of having to kind of shift, you know, that stuff, or at least consciously shift communication patterns and styles, you know, situationally dependent. But I recognize that it is a thing. I think that people probably are more patient at work oftentimes than they are with their families at home.
Are more what?
More patient.
Patient,
know, at work and more considered. You know, at home there's not, you know, HR or a boss or, you know, if you say the wrong thing to the wrong person. I mean, obviously the consequences at home can be substantial, but I think people a lot of times don't think of it that way, right? So they are going to be maybe more, I don't want to say genuine, but more off the cuff at home.
Right.
That might not always be a good thing.
But when we put the emotional component in, I mean, if we're working in positions of, you know, as a supervisor, whatever, you know, in whatever field we're in, and we create that emotional disassociation and I'm going to phrase it this way, you may want to talk about the terminology, but if we create a professional disassociation so that we're not emotional with our with my clients, with employees, you know, individuals that we're working with and so forth. And if we carry that home into a professional disconnect, emotional disconnect, because I know some people do you think that's harmful within the emotional frame of the family?
I mean, if you're emotionally disconnected in general, right, it's going to hurt your relationships with people. You know, we're very emotionally, you know, interconnected creatures in general, right? Or even, you know, negative, you know, kind of quote negative emotions or negative reactions are still can be valued reactions in their own right. And yeah, so if you're just cold distance, it's like the enemy of love is not hate, it's apathy, right? So
right.
You know, I think trying to be connected. Of course, I think it's important to be connected at work also. You know, and that might be somewhat industry dependent, but I think while you're at work, you can be emotionally engaged with your you know, peers and coworkers, and you know, but you don't have to take that home. right? That can stay at work, right? So if something
right.
ticks you off at work and you're upset about something for XYZ reason, you can make that paradigm shift on the way home. I got some really good advice from a mentor some years back when I was early in automotive engineering, which is pretty high stress. Feel that was a high stress company anyway. So, you know, he basically said to me, he doesn't take work home. And that was verified by the fact when I met his wife, that she was like, oh my goodness, it's so nice to meet. Never talks about work.
Right. Right.
So, you know, that kind of took that to heart.
Yeah. And a really important one too. Let's continue this discussion because I think we can go in all sorts of areas with this. Folks, you're listening to the Patty Conklin Show at HealthyLife.net, and my guest is Matt Conklin, and we're talking about emotional accountability. We'll see you on the flip side.
Want to get that man or woman out of your mind? How about being in the right state of mind for getting that job promotion or staying positive to help boost your immune system? Want to break those old habits? Then it's time for an emotional cellular cleansing with Patty Conklin. You'll get a private 3-hour session in person by phone or by Zoom with 3 months of follow-up appointments, plus email support. But you'll have to do the work and homework materials are included. Find out more or to book your appointment, visit pattyconklin.com. That's pattyconklin.com.
Audiobooks gives you instant access to over 50,000 of the bestsellers and hottest book titles in romance, mystery, fiction, and many other genres. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Audiobooks to get started.
If you're wondering if Patty can help you heal, why not book a free 15-minute consultation either by phone or by Zoom? It's a great way to see which of Patty's services is right for you. You'll discuss her services in detail and how they can apply to your specific situation. It's really a great place to start, and you can sign up for your free consultation by phone or Zoom on Patty's website, pattyconklin.com. That's pattyconklin.com. Get the help you need today. Sign up for your free consultation at pattyconklin.com.
ASMC, the premier German company that supplies everything for adventure, from outdoor clothes to outdoor gear, even backpacks. Lots of quality and lots of specials. To start your adventure, go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ASMC.
Okay, I get it. You're a doubting Thomas, and you don't want to pay for something unless you can know what it's all about. Well, now you can find out just what Patty Conklin's energy healing is all about. Go to pattyconklin.com to sign up for her free group energy adjustment, held every Wednesday from 12 p.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Experience for yourself the transformative energy designed to bring calm and healing to your life. Space is limited, so sign up now. Go to pattyconklin.com, click on services, and you're there.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Patty Conklin Show. I'm so excited to have you here listening in and delving deep into a topic that I think is just so critically important in our life, in our personal life, in our work life, in our political life, in our world life. Let's just take it across the board. My guest is, the full disclosure, my son, Matt Conklin, and one of the reasons I love discussing this topic with Matt is it's one we've had nonstop most of his life when he was at least able to articulate and get going on that. But I really value his opinion and his thoughts. And welcome back, Matt.
Hey, glad to be back.
Glad to have you back. So let's continue this emotions, disassociation, emotional responses within our lives and how we are accountable for those. I mean, I'm assuming that if we need to be accountable for reactions that may or may not necessarily be healthy for us, that we're also accountable for the really good things, the good emotions, how we handle a situation. Talk to me about that.
Oh, I think that's a great point. I mean, you know, it's easy to be, say, happy when something good happens, right? It's also, I think, important that it's not always about being happy, that you can experience a whole gamut of emotion that are good, right? That were good responses that fit the situation, that you know, I think internally were the right responses. So when you leave that situation, or when you're reflecting on that situation, you know, you ultimately are satisfied with how you handled it.
Yeah.
It's harder when things are going catastrophically wrong, obviously, or a big event occurs, you know, a tree falls on your car, whatever. You know, not to say you won't have the right emotions there, but, you know, if you don't, well, then what do you do?
Right. And so what do you do?
I beat you to it.
So I'm supposed to answer first.
I think that
how we respond emotionally in part comes from how well we know ourselves. And I think that that's important. I think that self-discovery of one's individual blueprint, if you will, of our lives is just important, of our emotional database. You know, what do we feel full in? You know, one of the things that has made me happy for years is Monday morning going to Starbucks and gifting the three cars behind me every Monday morning, so that everybody can start, you know, the next three cars can start their Monday morning out in a happy note that somebody gifted them their coffee and whatever. But now I'm building a house and I can't do that. I, you know, financially it's not responsible for me. So I'll take that personal view, and for me it feels empty. It feels like I'm not being of assistance to other people. And yet at the same time, I realize that I need to be fiscally responsible at this stage. And it may not be much money, but it's still a little bit. That's been a hard nut for me to wrap my brain around. Help me out.
Well, doesn't it make sense? I mean, just to simply be thankful that you were able to do it for as much as you have. Does it have
yes.
to be more complicated than that?
No, but it still doesn't take away the sad feeling that I still have, that I'm not
so
doing.
So is it really about that? So, right, so, but now is it about the event? If you're thankful that you did this thing, but now I'm sad because I can't do the thing, right?
Right.
How do you disassociate the emotion from the thing? Like, oh, I'm sad. Does it matter why?
I don't know the answer to that. I was thinking that in order to fill that void, I mean, I know I'm taking something so basic, but I'm taking something basic because so much of our life is filled with simple things, right? Not earth-crushing, traumatic events. It's a very simplistic thing. But I was thinking that maybe during that time I need to be going for a walk, or, you know, doing something for me that continues to enhance who I am as an individual. Does that work, or am I just psyching myself out?
Oh, I think it can. I mean, you know, there's a lot of different, you know, coping mechanisms to deal with, you know, a wide range of emotions, and if it's going to, you know, going for a walk or going for a drive or doing a thing that takes your mind, you know, off of your feelings, that's okay. right? That's definitely a way to do it. Doesn't necessarily address the root cause, right?
Right.
You know, but you know.
So, what would be the root cause in something so simple? If we're used to giving, and I'm going to make this generic for everyone, if you're used to giving and all of a sudden you stop because of financial aspects or lack of time, lack of creative motivation, how do we move ourselves into a different space?
I'm not entirely convinced that it should be event specific.
Okay.
I'm not entirely convinced that the event, you know, and the emotion, obviously they're tied together in the moment, but once that moment is passed, why are they still connected?
Good question. Why is it still connected? I think for all of us, we come up against that once in a while in our life. That, you know, when I sit and think about it, I can't think of anything that would still carry over that feeling of not being accomplished or not helping or, you know, not being good enough. I guess is what it really comes down to.
All right. So when we talk about accountability,
or
when I talk about accountability, I'm going to flip the narrative for a half second here and say, we're talking about emotional accountability. What if we were talking about financial accountability? And you said to me, you know, oh, 3 months ago, you know, I lost, you know, $100 and I'm really upset about it. Right. Or
okay.
I spent, you know, $30 at Starbucks every Monday.
Right.
Right. But now I'm doing this other thing. The money doesn't care about, you know, it's already spent. It's gone. The event already happened. It's gone when we talk about emotions. So, you know, disassociate those two things and just say, how can I be accountable now for my money and manage it better? How can I be accountable for my emotions now and manage that?
That sounds like a great question. And when we come back, let's continue on to that a little bit more. Folks, you're listening to the Patty Conklin Show with Matt Conklin as my guest, and we'll be right back.
The pulse of the blood in your veins means you're alive, but a high or low pulse could mean you're not in balance, which could cause problems. But now, Patty Conklin has found three ways that can constantly make sure your pulse is kept in balance so you can move easier through life. Subscribe to Patty's Healing Pulse today. It has a plethora of things to do, discounts, book club, and so much more. Visit pattyconklin.com to find out more about Patty's Healing Pulse subscriptions. That's pattyconklin.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
You may not be in the same room or even the same country, but Patty Conklin's remote energy work can help you heal whether you have an illness, emotional wounds, or are in spiritual turmoil. And she can do it remotely. You can choose your session time, too, starting from 30 minutes, 3 hours, or even 6-hour sessions. Healing energy. Healing you no matter where you are. Visit pattyconklin.com, scroll down to remote healing, and book your appointment now. That's remote healing at pattyconklin.com.
For the best in business class travel, count on Cheapo Air. Cheapo Air has the best price guarantee, 24/7 customer service, and easy booking online or by phone. To experience your hassle-free journey, start by going to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Cheapo Air.
If you're on PattyConklin.com, you might want to visit her store. There you can inexpensively buy powerful visualizations on a plethora of subjects, all to help you heal. Help rebuild your immune system, work with color or tonal energy, help remove fear and depression, and so much more. Plus, you can get Patty's best-selling book at her store, To Be Your Best Too. God Within is a great book to teach you how to use the lost knowledge of the universe to impact your physical life today. Visit our store at pattyconklin.com. You'll be glad you did. pattyconklin.com.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for coming back. And I've got my awesome son guest, Matt Conklin. Matt actually worked in my office for years as the executive director. And many of you who have been clients for, golly, we're coming on 30 years in June of this year. Many of you have spoken with him throughout the years, and Matt's always been very insightful in terms of thoughts and emotions and feelings, and he is in aerospace now. I will still forever remember the day he gave me his resignation. He went on to bigger and better things. But I value his input, and we're talking about emotional accountability. And Matt, I'm sorry I had to kind of go to break, but let's continue on where we left off.
Sure. Yeah, and not to beat the analogy into the ground too much, but I think the point that I'm trying to make when I talk about, oh, what if we were talking about financial accountability versus emotional accountability or any other kind of the accountabilities out there is there's a good place that you can disassociate an event that occurred with the emotional response that occurred. So when we talk about, you know, the story you were telling about, you know, feeling a little bit sad that you weren't able to give, I think that's valid. I think it's okay to be sad, right? But I think you can focus just on the sadness without worrying about the event. You don't necessarily have to replace that with something else. Not to say that other coping mechanisms like going for a walk can't help, but, you know, kind of lessen or make it fade from your mind. But you really can just focus on the sadness.
Got it. Kind of going, it is what it is for right now. I mean, so much of that term I dislike, and yet there's applicable areas that we can put it in our life.
Yeah, well, you know, it is what it was, for sure.
Very true. And it is what it is current, right? Is where we are now. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, how do you attack the, like, I was sad. Okay. So you can, there's a couple options, right? You can reframe that event. You can be thankful that you were able to do it. You can be hopeful that you're going to get to do it again. You know, you can be optimistic. You can be all these things, right? But you can also just say, why am I sad over this thing? I got to do this thing. I don't need to be sad about it anymore. And it's right. This doesn't check a magic box, right? This is something that, to me, and how I've been able to manage things, is it's a, you know, kind of constant forward-looking reinforcement, right? It's you train your brain to do that. So if somebody's going through a hard event or, you know, a challenge in some way, shape, or form, this isn't the magical cure at L right now. Right, you train yourself to understand that you do control your emotions, and I was lucky. You know, this is knowledge that you kind of gave to me, or you know, that I took from you anyway. You know, when I was 15, right? So I've had, you know, a lot of years to practice.
right. I mean, I remember, you know, a lot of those events. I remember one specifically, and I promise I will not fill up this wonderful time with stories of past. But having said that, I remember getting really upset about something that had nothing to do with home. And I was in the kitchen, and I was really angry and upset. And I'm pretty sure it was you, not Dan, but one of you walked in the kitchen and looked at me and said, I understand you're angry, but I'd appreciate it if you'd go to your bedroom and express your anger there because you're affecting the rest of the house. And I, you know, and it was so lovingly said and respectfully said that that's all I could do, right, is I needed to process my anger. And your point was that I was affecting the rest of the household by being in common space. And I think that there's value in that. I think there's value in the respectfully having that conversation, whether you're parent and child or child with parent, that it's okay to respectfully disagree. And I think it's one of those areas that people find very challenging, to be accountable, you know, especially as a parent, you know, do it this way because this is how I feel and blah, 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 but not listening to the other side from a child. How do people who have children work that respect back and forth? What do you think are some ideas that parents can do?
Oh, well, I think just in good practice, people should listen to hear, not listen to respond.
Okay.
And that's a pretty prevalent thing where you're just listening to what somebody says so you can respond back with what you wanted to say anyway.
Right.
Or, you know, with your response. And if you're listening to hear, then, you know, you can move beyond a little bit about just the words that are being said and try to get, you know, suss out what the intent or the meaning or what somebody's trying to convey, right? So you can
right.
be well as pedantic about something, right? And you can say, okay, you're saying this. Do you mean this as a thing, right? And so then maybe it's not as important where that information comes from, whether it's a child or a parent or a peer or whatever, you know, but, you know, kids oftentimes have very valuable input. It's just a little harder sometimes to understand what they're trying to say.
Right, right. But, people, you know, I think across the board, isn't it appropriate? Whether it's peer,
yeah.
whether it's parent, whether it's child.
Yeah, well, you should always, you know, you should always listen to hear what somebody's saying. I mean, that's how you build common ground. That's how you build relationships. That's how you build, you know, positive interactions in general. You know, people have a natural need, I think, to want to be heard. And so you look at all these different mediums in which people can express themselves, you know, talking and poetry and singing and, you know, writing,
right.
art, you know, painting, whatever. You know, it speaks to that fundamental need to be heard, right? So, you know, if you're honoring that, you know, and you're setting, you know, kind of your, you know, immediate emotional input to the side for a second, especially if it's a contentious conversation, you might already be on edge or ready to respond, you know, with you know, not something, maybe with something unkind, but with you know, something counteractive. You know, if you can put that aside, if you can own that emotion, put it aside to say, I'm going to hear what this person has to say. You know, that's
right.
the only way you can really move forward with, you know, conflict resolution, I think.
Okay. So let's get into the meat, though. Let's get into a situation. Let's say you have a job and your boss really has no business being in that position. It's just, they're not fit for it. They don't know the job, their craft, they're obnoxious, they're not listening. How do people who need to see change, how do they emotionally, I mean, other than switch can't do, I want you to think about that, and let's talk about that when we come back, because not everyone has great communication skills. And so let's talk about that when we come back. Folks, you're listening to the Patty Conklin Show. Appreciate you being here. HealthyLife.net. We'll see you on the other side.
Patty Conklin is busy, but she's never too busy for you, and there are lots of ways to get a healing session with her. You can even get one via Zoom or by phone. With 29 years in the business of energy healing, Patty has a unique and remarkable ability to connect with your energy to help you heal on a mind-body-spirit level. From angst to pain, you can get help from Patty. Book a half-hour healing session and embark on your own personal healing journey. Visit pattyconklin.com and click on services. That's pattyconklin.com.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
Want to get that man or woman out of your mind? How about being in the right state of mind for getting that job promotion or staying positive to help boost your immune system? Want to break those old habits? Then it's time for an emotional cellular cleansing with Patty Conklin. You'll get a private 3-hour session in person by phone or by Zoom with 3 months of follow-up appointments, plus email support. but you'll have to do the work and homework materials are included. Find out more or to book your appointment, visit pattyconklin.com. That's pattyconklin.com.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
If you're wondering if Patty can help you heal, why not book a free 15-minute consultation either by phone or by Zoom? It's a great way to see which of Patty's services is right for you. You'll discuss her services in detail and how they can apply to your specific situation. It's really a great place to start, and you can sign up for your free consultation by phone or Zoom on Patty's website, pattyconklin.com. That's pattyconklin.com. Get the help you need today. Sign up for your free consultation at pattyconklin.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Patty Conklin Show. I'm so thankful you're here. It's awesome. It gives me all sorts of awesome energy and smiles. And my guest today is Matthew Conklin, son extraordinaire, with great insight, as always, not just as an adult, my son, but also as a professional. And in different workspaces throughout the years, I know I was your just most favorite boss.
Yeah.
Even when you did knock me down a few points at staff meetings, but Matt, I really want to talk about, and you know, we've always had good communication. I think within the family dynamics, we've always had great communication. But let's pop to the areas where there aren't great communicators, whether it's within the office space, maybe your boss just shouldn't be in that position. They got in that position for other reasons, but they're not good communicators. They're not listening. How can they navigate those waters to be emotionally accountable for themselves and not take home frustration, right? But how do they also hopefully begin to effectively communicate with a non-communicator?
So two kind of different questions there, I think, or two different answers. So the first one, excuse me, in my opinion, is that obviously most people, working adults, have had terrible bosses or bosses they can't get along with. I think it's important, you know, to acknowledge that. What I kind of have the belief of is, you know, I get paid X amount of dollars to be at work X amount of hours, and I don't really care so much, you know, what those tasks are inside that time period. So if I went to work, you know, Monday, and my boss said, "Hey, Matt, we got a big customer visit, and the janitor quit last week, and I need you to clean the bathrooms." Hey, okay, cool. You know, whatever, I don't care.
You're still getting paid the same, right?
I'm getting paid the same either way. So, you know, obviously there's a lot of people who take a lot of pride in their work and they're in specific industries and they want to do those specific jobs. And I think for, you know, for those people, you know, maybe it's a little bit more important to them from their career progression and growth that they, you know, they don't want to be doing, you know, not my job tasks. And so for some of those people, it is going to be looking for other jobs. And for some of those people, it's going to be trying to find not with particularly like nightmarish bosses. How do you find non-confrontational ways to get around that? For bigger companies, there's maybe more avenues. For, you know, smaller companies, and hey, there's 20 people that work here, and the boss is the owner, and he's on the floor all the time, you know, and he's always yelling, you know, or whatever. You know, I think, you know, you can kind of just reframe it to be a thing. So I guess quick analogy is, if you forgot to go get your, you know, grocery shopping done right before Thanksgiving, you know the store is going to be a nightmare. and there's going to be people right. everywhere. So you have the opportunity then to say, like, oh, okay, it's going to be an adventure, right? And I'm not going to get frustrated. I'm not going to be, you know, try to be in and out. I know it's going to be this whole production, this whole ordeal, and that's okay. It is what it is.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right,
or it will
right.
be what it will be, you know?
It will be what so, it will be, yeah.
And you find that kind of zen space where you don't let that stuff impact you, you know. And obviously, if you're working a job where somebody's, you know, screaming and yelling at you all the time, well, sometimes the answer is finding another job. And no, that is not always easy or an option. So, you know, if you can kind of find your zen about it, you know, that's step one. And then step two, you know, if it's bad enough, evaluate other options.
Right. I mean, some of it is the same that, you know, we talk about in relationships, you know, within some family units and so forth, is, you know, our boss, you know, is who they are, and you're not going to change it. You know, if they're open to listening, that's awesome. But if they're not, then I think your zen moment is you know, really good. You're going to go into work, and this is the way that it's traditionally been, and so why go in frustrated every morning, because you're going to have the same outcome. I think, you know, one of the things I've always suggested to people, if they're in a job that's very frustrating for them or challenging or just intense, is to set a plant outside their house or outside the door of their office. And rub a leaf on that plant and just say, you know what, work is going to just stay right here and I'll pick it back up in the morning. And walk out the door and, like you said earlier, you don't talk about work. You just don't go there. And then in the morning, consciously, rub that leaf and take it back and go back in and do another day and hopefully it'll be a more positive day. Do you agree with that premise, or are there ways that you think, because you're in a totally different field than I am, are there ways that people can really assist themselves to not take stress and lack of communication home with them?
Sure. Well, you know, I think first, understanding that most of the things that happen at work that are negative are not a reflection of you, right?
That's
might be a reflection
yeah.
of the person giving the feedback or the environment or their stresses and their pressures that you might not know what they're experiencing. You know, I know years ago I was walking out of an office with a guy and he said, you know, do you ever wonder what they say about you when you're not in there? And I said, I just assume they talk about how handsome and funny I am. Why do I care? You know, it does zero good to dwell on any of that. You never know other people's motives. There's conjecture. You can make up as complicated and fantastical stories about why your boss is a jerk, right? But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, right?
It doesn't matter.
You know,
yeah.
if it's not so toxic that it's an unsafe environment, then I think you can really kind of teach yourself to just, you know, not be apathetic about it, but just be zen. Just take it as an adventure. It's not a reflection of you. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna do my job. I'm gonna get paid, right? Because if we were all independently wealthy, we wouldn't go to work anyway. So
true. Well, you know, it sounds like a lot of it is just stepping out of your ego. You know, just even the question of do you ever, you know, wonder what they say about you when you're not here, or the need, you know, to change your boss or make things different. You know, how much does the ego play into it?
Oh, a ton, I think. You know, or you're seeking understanding for things you have no control over, so why worry about it?
Right.
I can't control if my boss is going to wake up on the wrong side of the bed. If he's a jerk, he's a jerk. I can't control that, but I can control me. I can have a good day.
That's so true, and I think it bears repeating. You don't know what someone else went through that morning. You just don't. You don't know what happened in their life. And so be kind, be considerate, be respectful. You know, I think it's one of the things that I've spoken about through the years is, you know, when you go up to the, you know, let's say you're waiting in line to check out at the grocery store and it's taking forever and the cashier just seems to be really off. And you can stand there and get frustrated about it. Understand that something may be taking place in their life that you don't know about. So be kind, be generous, be respectful. And Matt, I really, really have loved this conversation, and I hope that you will come back for another show and continue this process, because I think people need to hear it. But I appreciate you greatly. I respect you, and I thank you for being on today.
Well, thank you so much. It was lovely to be here, and we'll make sure it's not 15 or so years before the next time we do this.
Sounds wonderful. Folks, you've been listening to the Patty Conklin Show. We'll see you next time.
Okay, I get it. You're a doubting Thomas, and you don't want to pay for something unless you can know what it's all about. Well, now you can find out just what Patty Conklin's energy healing is all about. Go to pattyconklin.com to sign up for her free group energy adjustment, held every Wednesday from 12 p.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Experience for yourself the transformative energy designed to bring calm and healing to your life. Space is limited, so sign up now. Go to pattyconklin.com, click on Services, and you're there.
You have too little time to shop, so try Farm Fresh to You. They deliver organic food the way nature intended, delivered straight to your home or office, economically. Visit our web advertiser page and click on Farm Fresh to You now.
The pulse of the blood in your veins means you're alive, but a high or low pulse could mean you're not in balance, which could cause problems. But now, Patty Conklin has found three ways that can constantly make sure your pulse is kept in balance so you can move easier through life. Subscribe to Patty's Healing Pulse today. It has a plethora of things to do, discounts, book club, and so much more. Visit pattyconklin.com to find out more about Patty's Healing Pulse subscriptions. That's pattyconklin.com.
VMware is a fresh perspective for virtualization on the cloud. Shaping the future, this all-in-one platform delivers virtual cloud service on any cloud. Visit our HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on VMware.
If you're on PattyConklin.com, you might want to visit her store. There you can inexpensively buy powerful visualizations on a plethora of subjects, all to help you heal. Help rebuild your immune system, work with color or tonal energy, help remove fear and depression, and so much more. Plus, you can get Patty's best-selling book at her store, To Be Your Best Too. God Within is a great book to teach you how to use the lost knowledge of the universe to impact your physical life today. Visit her store at pattyconklin.com. You'll be glad you did. pattyconklin.com.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.